Danny, good to speak to you, pal. I'm in the capital today and it's absolutely hosing down. So much for summer. Come on, we want the sun out.
That's very true. Don't worry, it's just as grim up north as well up here, Stan. There's no doubt about that. I've seen that you've been keeping yourself busy as well, Stan. You've been out and about and having a look around Russia lately as well.
Absolutely. I think that the aim for me was, as a sports broadcaster that's been to the last two World Cups, South Africa and Brazil, the last two European Championships, France and Ukraine, is that, as we know, any football fans listening to this, that we get to a World Cup year and we tend to see a lot of documentaries pop up that says, don't go to Ukraine, don't go to Brazil, don't go to South Africa if you're English or if you're black or if you're Asian, because you're going to get killed. And having been to all of those tournaments, walked around, engaged with fans, drunk at Irish pubs, got on tubes, got on trains, nobody's any different to us. The shops, the trains, the tubes are no different to what we ride on every day. But of course, when you bring out those documentaries, you are selling a very powerful image to people that then get that get very frightened. And I think that having filmed a lot on my own with Periscope around Marseille last year, when there was trouble between some England fans, some local French fans and some Russian fans, and particularly the size and the organisation of these small pockets of Russian fans, is that most people would say, not going to Russia for the World Cup next year. So my primary motivation for getting involved with RT, which is a news channel, we won't be doing commentary, it'll be very much going around and talking to fan groups, politicians, celebrities, footballers around the tournament, and I've just come back from 10 days in the four cities, is that one of the things I'm very, very proud of in my broadcasting that sometimes gets me into trouble as such, but people get a little bit kind of, well, a bit Marmite, is that I try to tell the truth, whether people like it or not. So I'll go and film wherever I am. This is what it is. You take it or leave it. If you want to follow it, great. If you don't. So the opportunity to work with RT was to be able to go out, visit the four cities, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Sochi and Kazan, and to ask questions wherever, whoever, whenever I wanted to. And I have to say that all I found was, whether it be fan groups of Zenit St. Petersburg that had issues around groups of naughty fans, racist fans, that the vast majority of the fans that I spoke to were pretty much like we are. We don't like at our club those little groups of lads that pop around when there's big games on and start kicking off outside of pubs. The Russians don't like that either. They're maybe a little bit further back in terms of dealing with it, because we had 30 or 40 years of rampant hooliganism. But these are very small, very motivated groups of ultras, like they do in Italy and like they do in Spain. But I was convinced by talking to fan groups that not only are they being self-policed in stadiums, that the police, the security services, for example, the Football Supporters Federation, is travelling out to Russia this summer to watch the Confederations Cup with our police and the FA, to do venue checks, to do all of the checks that I've done, is that the Russian public are very passionate about their sport. They're very passionate about their country. There is absolutely no way on this earth are they going to let 30, 40 hooligans spoil their party next year. They feel they've waited for it long enough. They feel that they should have had the World Cup much, much sooner. And all I want to do is to get into the meat and veg of it, to chat to people and say, honestly, what's going on. And so far, I have to say, Danny, that I've thoroughly enjoyed the first 10 days I was there. The film crew that I worked with were fantastic. The people that I met were great. I went off on tubes and trains and walked around on my own. People didn't look at me as if I had devil horns. They weren't racist towards me. They didn't look at me strange. Mm. They were the same as people anywhere else. And so from that regard, the first half of the journey has been a good one. The second half, when fans are actually going to be turning up to Russia, I'm going to be watching very carefully.
Well, he sounds absolutely fantastic. I suppose with a football season over as well. I mean, I've already been bored on this Saturday, so I can't wait for some football action in the Confederations Cup.
Yes, and of course we're going to get to see, you know, I mean, a young Germany side. They've left the players like Toni Kroos and Mesut Özil at home, but you've got players like Anton Rudiger, you've got players like Julian Draxler, Emre Can at Liverpool, that are going to be the next generation of German teams that at least get to finals. That's their benchmark. Cristiano Ronaldo, what a season he's had. 7 or 8 accolades already in the last 12 months. European Championships, 2 Champions Leagues, and La Liga trophy. And I know for a fact that he will be taking the Confederations Cup very, very seriously because he'll want to win it. Alexis Sanchez, will he stay at Arsenal? Will he go to Bayern Munich? He'll be leading the line for Chile. And of course, it's zonal winners. So the champions of Africa will be there, Cameroon. The champions of Asia, which are Australia, they moved several years ago from the Oceania group to Asia group, won it. New Zealand are there. So you've got a real breadth of teams that are starting, really, the egg timer ticking on their own World Cup campaigns and trying to get back to Russia within 2 years. But I think that when you turn your tellies on, I think that the coverage is going to be on BBC in terms of the games. You're going to be seeing great stadiums. I was looking at the FIFA statistics the other day. There are going to be a lot of English fans that go out there anyway. They usually go and have a little recce and a look around. I think that a lot of people are going to be very, very surprised at how well organised it will be and the friendly welcome and the infrastructure that is in place in Russia. So looking forward to going back middle of next week for a couple of weeks and seeing some quality football.
Yeah, sounds absolutely fantastic. And looking on the England stage as well, we're all looking ahead to that World Cup now in Russia. Are you optimistic for the England setup looking over the next year or so?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be at Hampden Park on Saturday. I think that we're virtually getting to the stage now where, what, 2 more wins is going to rubber stamp our passport. Getting to the end of this season, if you like, with a win against Scotland, I think that would give round off the season nicely for players like Dele Alli, Eric Dyer, Raheem Sterling, John Stones, that have all had varying degrees of successful seasons. But England will be there. We have a manager now that I know very well, having played with twice at Crystal Palace and at Aston Villa, that I believe actually from our rock bottom, look, let's be perfectly honest, as all us England fans, is that our expectations are very, very low. Mm. There was the big Sam debacle and we're like, we haven't done anything for years. Gareth Southgate's come in, an uninspiring figure, but I actually think he's spoken very well. He has a track record with the under-21s of bringing through younger players and developing them. And for me, I just want to see England compete. If we're not good enough to get out of the group in the World Cup and we finish second, but those players like Dele Alli and Harry Kane play like they do for Spurs, I'll hold my hand up and say, well, we've done the best that we can. The problem for England has been is that we have so many players over the years, Gerrard, Lampard, Terry, Sol Campbell, Rio Ferdinand, that have won Premier Leagues and European Cups, that then haven't translated it, Wayne Rooney, into an England shirt. I just want to see whatever we've got, let's go and put it out there in Russia. So we're going to get there. I think we're going to go there with a very young, exciting team. Let's have a really good go. And this time next year, when we're all in beer gardens, sat around the country, at least give us something to smile about. If we're not good enough, I think that most people will applaud us off the pitch and say, OK, we're not good enough. Now we're going to go and watch Argentina. We're going to watch Brazil. We're going to watch Germany go on and win it. But at least let's translate what these players do in club shirts in a country shirt. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, no, you are very, very right there, Stan. And while you're on, Stan, I know you've had some fantastic moments in your career at Liverpool and Forest in England, but I'm a big Bradford City fan,
yes,
Stan.
Yes, up the Bantams.
Yes, there we go. And I always remember that overhead kick against Leeds.
How can I forget it? I mean, it was against Leeds United. I mean, in front of the Leeds end, I gave them a little bit when I scored as well. And I often bump into Bantams around... of course, disappointing with the playoff final, but I think what I like about, I mean, apart from scoring an overhead kick at Valley Parade against Leeds United, which was exciting enough, I think that what the current owners have done at Bradford, lowering ticket prices, which is a massive thing that I'm passionate about. I know a couple of Bradford season ticket holders that have been able to take their family, been able to take their kids, the next generation of football supporters, because of sensible season ticket pricing and feeling a part of the club. So a massive, massive thumbs up from me at Bradford, getting very big crowds. And trust me, only going to take a little bit of momentum to take that one step back up one league, and then hopefully another couple of jumps will follow, and hopefully in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, that Bradford City could do what they did under Stuart McCall and Dean Windass and get back into the Premier League again. But really, really proud of what Bradford have done as a football club to embrace the local community and getting them watching their local club.
I was going to say, Stan, because of course it's a former teammate of yours, Stuart McCall, who's heading it up at the moment. You're backing him for success to get them back into the second division.
He knows the lay of the land. I mean, it's all about results ultimately. But if you're looking at somebody that has a great deal of experience as a player, of course, with Everton and Rangers, and he won things with both of those clubs. Coming back to Bradford City, a club that he knows well, good ownership that I think that will give him the backing. It's always very difficult in League One and League Two, because of budgets, because of you're having to scrap and try and get loans and try to build teams, and maybe that one bright spark of a player that you have that plays 20 games, that then Man City come and poach them and stick them in their development team. It's a very, very difficult environment to work. So if Stuart can get the kind of support that he needs over the next couple of seasons, Bradford certainly off the pitch is doing everything it can to make sure that supporters are coming through the gates. Revenue streams should be very good in the division that they're in. Is that it takes that little bit of luck. You've got to have consistency over 90% of the season, that little bit of luck to turn that into a promotion.
Well, Stan, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Yorkshire today.
No worries, Danny. All the very best.